Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. This is Jeff Stein speaking to you from the free state of Iowa. And it's my privilege to fill in for Todd today and, in fact, tomorrow as well. I'm coming to you from my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Now, Todd normally is spreading common sense conservatism through this radio microphone to millions across America. But sometimes you have to reach people individually. Sometimes you have to do retail politicking, talking to folks and spreading the message one-on-one. And that's especially true as well when you're a business owner. And so Todd is, at this very moment, probably pulling the Cadillac up to the Stonebridge Golf Course in Lakeland, Tennessee. It is the Lakeland Chamber of Commerce Membership Luncheon, and Todd Starnes is the guest speaker, representing Starnes Media Group and the Mighty 990 KWAM Radio. So Todd is spreading the message to a group of good business people there in Tennessee, taking care of home and taking care of business. And so it gives us a chance to have a conversation, and I hope you'll join this coast-to-coast dialogue at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls on whatever topic comes to your mind. Plenty of time for us to dialogue in this first hour of the program. Hope you're along for the full show. If you call that number, 844-747-8868, the executive producer of this program, Grace Baker, will pick up the phone and find out what you want to talk about. Grace has also assembled an excellent guest list for today. In our next hour, hour number two of the Fun Fest, we'll be talking with a former Newsmax TV anchor who gave up that pretty good gig for a higher purpose, namely to get Chuck Schumer out of the U.S. Senate. He's Joe Pinion. And if you wonder what he's been doing since he left Newsmax earlier this year, well, he has declared his candidacy as a Republican, thank you very much, for U.S. Senate. And we'll talk live with Joe Pinion just a little less than an hour from now. Also, we'll be talking with the folks from Focus on the Family. I was going to say we're going to focus on family issues, but it's issues from Focus on the Family. You know, you get your eyes checked at the optometrist, and he says you need to get new glasses. You probably should do that. That's a story I tried yesterday. Well, in any case, I'm already getting off the rails. But that's what I can barely read these days. I swear. This getting old stuff is not for the faint of heart. You young people there listening in Memphis, understand, it gets worse as you get older. Coming up at the bottom of the next hour, if this rambling hasn't driven him away, it's Jeff Johnston of Focus on the Family. And I'm really interested in this conversation because this historically is an important week with regard to public schools and free speech. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But the public schools and our children's education and their overall development is under severe attack in this country. It started well before COVID. But parents figured a lot of things out during COVID, because they became even closer in terms of being involved with their kids' education. So we'll talk with Jeff Johnston, a Focus on the Family. That is at the bottom of our next hour. And in hour number three, return guest to the program, friend of the program. I always enjoy the opportunity to speak with her when I get to. She's Liz Peek, and we'll be talking about the Biden administration and its mere presence on the world stage creating chaos. And that's especially true with regard to the economy as well. also in our third hour. A return guest to the program, another person I enjoy speaking with, Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner. She posted a story today where Dr. Oz has really torn into Dr. Fauci. Now, Dr. Oz, of course, running for U.S. Senate from Pennsylvania, but some really interesting specifics about these mandates and the attempt for a power grab. So that's what we have coming up for you today. There is a lineup for you. I'd listen to that show. Jeff Johnston of Focus on the Family, U.S. Senate candidate Joe Pinion, Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner, columnist Liz Peek, and hopefully you as well at 844-747-8868. So yesterday, the president following in line, not leading, but back in line behind other nations, decided to impose some sanctions on Russia because of the, is it an incursion or an invasion now in Ukraine? That alone is interesting, isn't it? Ever since Joe Biden said that if it were a minor incursion into the sovereign nation of Ukraine, the response may not be very much. Which then led everyone to say, is there such a thing as a minor incursion? The Ukrainians really don't think so. Well, now the administration is using the phrase invasion to justify this latest attempt at face-saving. But here's the problem with these sanctions. I'm not saying that Russia should just move forward unchecked. Not in any way, shape, manner, or form. But when you open the door like that and say, well, we probably won't do much if it's a minor incursion. And then you talk publicly about war is off the table, but we're going to send troops. I mean, what is going to deter the Russians? There's nothing to deter them. Nothing from the so-called leadership from this administration is going to deter anyone from anything. And then when they do put these sanctions in, who's actually going to be hurt by them? Now again, should the U.S. stand up to Russia aggression? Sure, absolutely. But let's be appropriate about such things. So then they roll out sanctions, and what are the sanctions going to do? Well, they might hurt the Russian people. Might. Especially with regard to denial of energy that some of these other nations have led on, something we could have preemptively gotten involved in, but we were too busy giving away everything to Vladimir Putin. So if these sanctions are going to deprive the Russian people of a good quality of life, that's in quotes, do you really think Vladimir Putin cares? Vladimir Putin cares about power, about maintaining and expanding his power. And if part of the fallout is that his people are going to get cold and might be hungry, doesn't affect his life at all, really. I mean, you're not going to hear about it. They're going to tamp down any stories from inside the country. Certainly no word of it's going to slip out to the rest of the world. So is he really being harmed by that? No. The people around him, are they being harmed by any of this? No. And what will then happen in return? Cyber attacks from Russia. Oh, no, they don't have anything to do with it. Government can't stop those. Russian government, no, they didn't have anything to do with it. Yeah, okay, they're sure not going to stop them, and they're probably the ones who are contributing to it. Again, these hacks that took place a year ago on our infrastructure, power grids, companies that had their databases frozen, that was not a coincidence in terms of what's happening right now. It's pretty simple, isn't it, folks? You listening in Starnes Nation, it's pretty simple to put the dots together, right? Connect these dots. Russian-based hackers flexed their muscle to disable various parts of the United States infrastructure. Energy, financial, communications. Remember, they hit some media outlets. radio stations, TV stations. And at the time, smart analysts said, this is just a first step. This is them testing things out. There is something else to come. This is the something else, friends. The something else where Vladimir Putin wanted to expand Russia in an attempt to put the band back together, restore the old Soviet empire that he has publicly said should never have been dissolved to begin with. So what kind of retaliation will he do for sanctions? Well, go check out the Ukrainian government website today. It's been hacked. Hardly a surprise. But the first thing for retaliation, and I'm sure obviously the Russian government denies it, but we know what's going on. What happens? Oh, all of a sudden now, the Ukrainian government website was hacked. A key way to communicate with people and society and the rest of the world, hacked. What's next? What's next over here? What might they do from a cyber attack standpoint to retaliate against our old school sanctions, which are not hurting members of the government at all? Again, hurt the people? Fine, they don't care. Keep in mind, why is Putin doing what he's doing? Other than the base belief that he needs to put the Soviet Union back together. Everybody's forgotten about Crimea. And again, look what happened when Russia retook, quote-unquote, Crimea. Putin's approval rating at home went up by 20 points. 20 points. It's not that he has to worry about elections. However, it does help. So now what do you have going on over there? You have energy issues, you have food issues, you have COVID issues. Guy needs a boost in the polls. Well, let's just go find some breakaway republics of Ukraine that give us better natural resources, more of an insulation against any sort of Eastern European aggression. And he goes on state-run television and comes across like the greatest leader of all time as he does this. What's his public approval going to be now? Again, it's a boost. He pays attention to this. We're not, as a country, at least not publicly, not our leaders, I think you all know, but our leaders are not really paying attention to why he's doing what he's doing. And we're trying to treat him like the leader of a democratically elected nation. He is not. And that's why we look so bad today. And that's why, and we'll pick this up after a break, that's why the only people who are going to be harmed by these sanctions, ultimately, you and me. Not even the Russian people. You and me. And I'll tell you why when we come back. 844-747-8868. If you'd like to join this conversation, and I hope you do. Short break now. We'll continue on the other side. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Wednesday. 844-747-8868 is how you can join us to continue this conversation. Just before the break, I mentioned that sanctions are fine. I mean, that's great. Is there a path through these limited sanctions that the Biden administration has put in place so that they can save face by saying that they did sanctions, but also allow Putin to walk things back a little bit? Well, given that his behavior the past 3 weeks has been anything but walking things back, remember, we all fell for the line of they're removing troops. They said that. And while everyone said, there we go, we won, they added troops. I mean, come on. It's fine. Give them a chance, but I don't have much optimism is my point. But this is where we're going to get hurt, and partly it's reality, and partly it's because the Biden administration is so desperate to change the narrative from a failed administration only 13 months into a four-year term. We're going to bear the brunt. You noticed it yesterday when the president said, well, now, you know, if we're going to protect democracy around the world, I'm saying it much more coherently than he did, obviously, but he said, we're going to suffer. There's going to be pain. We're going to pay more at the gas pump. And, you know, we're just going to have to sacrifice. Why do we have to sacrifice? Why is it that Americans should have to sacrifice because of the conflict at the Ukrainian-Russian border? Unless he's already committed to jumping in with both feet into armed conflict, we wouldn't be suffering economic consequences if we were still energy dependent. Now, were we? Would we? The administration is trying to now spin higher gas prices, and they are going up again. Remember, they went way up, and then they went down for about 5 minutes when he released some from the reserve, and we knew it was temporary, but it met the initial goal of getting the story off the table. Well, now they're higher than ever, those gas prices. If you're only paying a dollar a gallon more than you did at this time last year, you're lucky. But the mainstream, I call them formerly mainstream media outlets, have fallen right in line with the administration's mantra of, well, if it weren't for Putin in this Ukraine situation, you know, well, gas prices would be much better. It's false. Here's CBS News from last night. The U.S. economy has been hit with increased gas prices, inflation, and supply chain issues due to the Ukraine crisis. I'll read that again. CBS News, quote, the U.S. economy has been hit with increased gas prices, inflation, and supply chain issues due to the Ukraine crisis, end quote. Mr. Starnes quickly on the Twitter machine posted, this is simply not true. As always, Mr. Starnes is simply correct. We had increased gas prices well before Putin decided to be outwardly aggressive toward Ukraine. We had inflation that was the worst in 40 years before Putin became more publicly aggressive toward Ukraine. And as far as supply chain issues, yes, those also well predated the current activity by Vladimir Putin. To try to spin this from a formerly somewhat legitimate media outlet, it is so embarrassing for them, I can't even begin to tell you. For CBS News to say, increased gas prices, inflation, and supply chain issues are due to the Ukraine crisis. No, they were here before. And if the administration wants to blame Russia for it, well, then why didn't you do something to stop it? No answer for that either. We'll take your calls after this bottom of the hour break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being with us on the Todd Starn Show.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He is speaking at the Lakeland Chamber of Commerce event, their luncheon event today in Tennessee, taking care of spreading the message of common sense conservatism face to face with his fellow Tennesseans. And that's good to do, right? I mean, you can do it from this microphone, but you need to talk to people face to face as well. And that's why when so many of you, as you call in here, or people who talk to me here where I'm in the state of Iowa, and they say, what can I do? You talk to people, you look them in the eye, and you get them to join the movement, whether it is to volunteer at a polling place, whether it is to make a donation, work for a candidate, run for office. You take the steps you can. And you can't just do it by thumbing out 140-character tweets. And you can't just do it by staring at screens at home. You've got to look people in the eye and do this face-to-face. And as a good business owner, Mr. Starnes is doing that at the local chamber luncheon. And then going to CPAC this week. And I really want to talk later in the program, as time permits. I want to talk to Kyle and Grace about this road trip that they're taking tomorrow. I get to be here with you, which is tremendous. They're on a road trip. And I want to know what a road trip with Todd Starnes is like. So we'll find out. Probably in the third hour of the program, as time permits. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach this program. Before the break, I talked about the impact of sanctions on ordinary Americans. Don't misunderstand. That will happen. You've got the Russian ambassador to the United States making it very clear. Here's his quote. There is no doubt that the sanctions introduced against us, he means Russia, will hit global financial and energy markets. Again, Russian ambassador to the U.S. says, quote, the United States will not be left out with its ordinary citizens feeling the consequences of the price increase in full. Right. Absolutely. Bad policy by this administration. Attempts to try to look strong on the world stage after the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. Weakness generally. All of that is going to mean we pay more to fill up our cars for a road trip. And it's already more than $1 a gallon more where I live, and hopefully it's not any more than that where you live, but I think it is in many places. We're paying a ton more for gas. And it's not just the cost. And again, so that's going to go up now, okay? Botched American foreign policy, bad methods of addressing things with sanctions, that's going to lead to us paying more. But we were already paying more, CBS News. Here's a news flash. Come out of the bubble of a blue city in a blue state. Supply chain issues were not invented by this crisis. Inflation did not start because of this crisis, and increased gas prices were not a direct initial result of this crisis. They were already on the way up. This just makes a bad situation worse. I mean, that is so lame. CBS News, well, you know, really it's Putin's fault that we have. No, it's not. Who's in the White House? Compare inflation before January 20, 2021, with what it is now. Gas prices, supply chain, everything's worse now. And while everything is worse in that respect, as you would have noticed if you followed along at ToddStarnes.com today, they're more worried about sanitizing websites from various derogatory words. Again, you want to read this story? Go to ToddStarnes.com. The Biden administration, this is from the U.S. Department of Interior, they are scrubbing the word squaw from 660 federal websites. Squaw is a derogatory term, and the Department of Interior is taking it upon itself to remove that word from as many as 660 federal websites. Now, I'm not advocating that we should use the word squaw. I'm just wondering if our priorities are in the right place. I'm just wondering if this is what we should be doing first. Let's go back to something that's just fundamental, and that is the fact that many of us don't like to do the hard work that we have to do. We'd rather do anything else as a distraction. I think it happened with a lot of people, but I know it happened with me when I was in college. You'd get near finals week. You'd do about anything to not sit down and study for finals. My apartment was never cleaner than the few days before finals. Should be the opposite, right? But you're going to sit down to study, and then you say, oh, look at this place. This is a mess. I've got to take care of this right now. And if it was the fall semester in December, oh, I've got to get these Christmas cards out. I'll study afterwards, but I'm going to get these Christmas cards out. Boy, how old am I when we still did Christmas cards like that? Bottom line is, you would do anything to act like you were accomplishing something. And yes, maybe it should be done, but that wasn't what was number one. Number one was trying to adequately prepare for final exams. Nope, I think it's time to clean the toilet, of all things. Same thing here. U.S. government is much more worried about being politically correct and woke. Now, should they be able to chew gum and walk in a straight line at the same time? Yeah, they should be able to, but I have not seen evidence of that ability just yet. So maybe the priority should be on, I don't know, supply chain, stopping inflation. Here's one. How about you secure the southern border with Mexico before you worry about the Ukrainian border with Russia? There's an idea. I'm not saying you can't do all of these things, but how about you do the most important things first? If a structure, a home, a business, whatever, is on fire, when the fire department comes, they have multiple jobs. One is to investigate and determine the cause of the fire. But they don't do that until they have put the fire out first. Put the fire out, then figure out how it started. But everybody's standing around with a clipboard to make notes on how a fire started while it is still raging. That's not the priority. That's not the order in which you do things. So again, you want to remove derogatory language from federal websites? I'm all about it. That's great. That's fine. Is that the number one priority? On February 23rd, 2022, with everything else going on in the world? Really? That's number one? By the way, the federal government only has money for another couple of weeks. Government was supposed to have shut down last Friday, but then they kicked the can down the road again for another month. Senate's not in session today. House is not in session today. And the government will shut down in 3 weeks. Don't get me wrong, most days, if the House or the Senate are not in session, that's a good day because they can't do anything to screw up my life. So I'm okay. Take some time off. Why don't you take several weeks off? But realistically, how we get things done? Is this how we fix things for the average American that these people are sent to serve? They serve at our pleasure. They should be providing for our common defense, and our economic health. And I have a feeling a lot of politicians are getting an earful when they're making trips during these off weeks. I know the ones I talk to hear a lot of frustration from all of you out there. And it's because of these policies that we're seeing out of Washington. We have no confidence in their ability. And they continue to prove us correct to not have confidence. It's a very simple first question that I'll ask you before we take this next break. Do you have confidence in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris responding to Vladimir Putin as he makes this minor incursion, or maybe now it's invasion, we don't know, into Ukraine? Do you have confidence in them to adequately handle the situation? When you know that Putin and Xi of China met in Beijing before the Olympics, do you have confidence in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to stand up to China as they continue their expansion, not only to take our intellectual property, but to foist a plague upon the world, a deadly plague upon the world? You expect these people to stand up to Xi, Putin, the White House maid? I don't think they'd stand up to the White House maid. Do we have maids still? It's probably cleaning staff. The environmental health staff, I think that's the term. I can't keep it straight. Bottom line is, I don't trust them to lead our country. That has me greatly concerned. What can we do about it? Well, first, let's pray that we can survive this until other leaders come to Washington. What else can we do? We'll take up that topic after this break. Love to hear from you folks. 844-747-8868. Short break now. We're back on the other side. Thank you so much for being along. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for folks like me. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. Now, Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you're going to get 60% off the Giza Dream Sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You will also receive a set for as low as $39.99. For a limited time with any purchase, you also get Mike's soft cover book free when you use the promo code STARNS. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. Along with this offer, you're also going to get some deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the mattress topper and the towel sets. Call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com/STARNS and use the promo code STARNS.
Glad you came back to the Todd Starnes Show. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach us. That's how Charles in North Carolina reached us. He's listening on News Talk WSIC. Charles, thanks for calling in. Jeff Stein in for Todd. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Jeff. How are you this afternoon?
Excellent.
Jeff, I'll tell you what's on my mind today, and I wanted to just talk about what you just mentioned about what do we do until we replace leadership.
Yes.
I just want to remind everybody that everything that is happening right now in our country, adversely, inflation, immigration, crime, foreign policy, the culture wars, everything, is all started or accelerated as a result of November 3rd, 2020. And while Republicans need to focus on those issues and win elections in 2022 and then 2024, One of the things that I think we're going to have to incorporate into that, and Kerry Lake in Arizona, gubernatorial candidate, is doing a great job of doing this right now, is we have got to get to the bottom of November 3rd, 2020. And everything that we're seeing, Todd, is because of an election that was stolen. Now, there's plenty of evidence that's come out before, during, and after from court cases in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona. And I think that there's people that really know the truth, both Republicans and Democrats at all levels. And maybe some of them are listening to this show right now. But you know what's been said, that for in order for evil to prevail, all it takes is for good men to do nothing?
Yes.
And I'm afraid that right now there's a lot of good men and women that know the truth about what happened on November 3rd, 2020. And for whatever reason, they're not speaking up. That may be for financial reasons, fear of harming their reputation, their security. But these good men and women need to stand up because, you know, they don't need to let their hatred of Donald Trump override love of country. And I can't say that, you know, even if these states were to decertify, you know, the results, and I don't know the mechanism in place of what we can do. That's not the point. What's important is that we take a stand and let people know and question the legitimacy of this regime and plant that seed of doubt to where we create a constitutional crisis, because I think that's what we're going to have to do. Otherwise, Biden and this regime is going to drive this country down the toilet and very quickly. I mean, just look what's happened in a year. Your thoughts?
Oh, you know, you're exactly right. And I have said this repeatedly to anyone who would listen, certainly to my audience. The number one issue in 2022 is not inflation. It's not supply chain. It's not COVID. The number one issue in 2022 is integrity of elections, because without that, we have nothing as a self-governing republic. Now, you can go about it in a variety of different ways. There are far, far, far too many questions about 2020 to simply accept the results and move on, as some would like. Those on the right who did not stand up for Donald Trump now have to live with these consequences and be held accountable for the consequences. They could have helped. They didn't. And that's why I say election integrity is the number one issue we have moving forward. Now, for example, if I said election integrity was the number one issue, because without that, we can't get to anything else, would you, Charles, agree with that?
Absolutely. Exactly. I sure would.
Okay, now let me ask you, because I have some ideas that I want to share with the audience, but I'll ask you first, because you're kind enough to call. What are you yourself doing to help the situation with regard to election integrity?
Well, first of all, I'm volunteering as a poll worker. I'm trying to get involved at the local level in the precincts.
Yes.
I would like to run for a precinct chair. I'm all about doing all of that. I'm all about showing up at county and state local meetings and holding these people, these politicians, accountable and to stand up for election integrity. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Because if they don't do anything, it's going to sacrifice the confidence, compromise the confidence that we have, which I think could affect voter turnout.
There's no question. You know, you're going to say, you're going to wind up running into people who say, why should I bother? They'll just steal the election anyway. And that's way. I mean, you're not going to get anywhere with that. Now, let me ask you again, and you're very kind to let me turn the questions on you. When you talk to people, do you ask them if they have actually voted recently?
Yes, most of the people, I'd say all of the people that I know, from my children to my friends, every one of them voted. And even around election time, whether it's primary or general election, I'm sending out messages to them, either texting, calling, hey, you got to come out and vote. And, you know, they'll say, well, it's only one vote. You know, I don't know it's going to make any difference. And I said, well, you know what? In 1960, had everybody just in one precinct throughout the country, had the votes been changed, Richard Nixon would have been president.
Wow. That's right.
So it makes a big difference. Look what happened in the year 2000.
And we're up against a hard break, so I'm going to have to let you go, Charles. But I'm so glad you called from North Carolina. And this is why I love talking with listeners to the Todd Starnes Show. Because not only are you smart and informed, you do something about it. And that was what I was going to, and luckily he called in and had the answers. This is what you do. You go and volunteer at a polling place. If you're worried about election integrity, you be one of the people watching. You make sure that your friends and neighbors actually vote and cast in informed ballots. You can do that much without getting off the couch, hardly. Second hour coming up. This is great fun. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Come on back for more of the Todd Starnes Show.
So how much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? Are you paying too much? Well, then why not consolidate your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? That's right. You can pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. LightStream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. So here's what I want you to do, just for my listeners. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/freedom. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/freedom. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/freedom for more information.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, we welcome you to hour number two of this Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 100 excellent radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein coming to you from the free state of Iowa and my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. And as always, a great privilege to speak with you at Starnes Nation. Todd is delivering remarks at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon there in Tennessee. He's taking the message of common sense conservatism directly to the people, and as a business owner, he's talking with other business owners about how to make that home base of Tennessee a better place. And so while he's taking care of that mission, it gives us an excellent opportunity to continue our dialogue at 844-747-8868. It's 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls coming up a little later this half hour. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Joe Pinion. Many of you may recall watching Mr. Pinion on the weekends and other times on Newsmax. He gave up that platform for what I'm calling a higher calling, and that's to get rid of Chuck Schumer. Joe Pinion, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you, sir?
Good to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so again, you're anchoring a weekend program on a hot cable news channel. What led you to say, you know what, I'm going to put that aside, and I'm going to take on the Senate Majority Leader?
Well, look, I think if you ask some people, they say I must have slipped and bumped my head. but, you know, as I tried to explain to my mother once she was done crying, look, there's some things in life are worse than not having your own television show. It's called not having your own country.
Yeah.
So when I'm sitting behind a news desk and talking about the Republican Party losing two Senate seats in Georgia, when I'm sitting there behind a news desk looking at a nation print $6 trillion that we do not have to fight a virus of foreign origin for which we have yet to hold the nation of origin accountable. When I'm sitting here watching the sanctity of that invaluable sentiment, no American left behind, ripped up, left in tatters,
after $2 trillion of failed nation building falls apart in less than 11 days. Americans paying $400 million a day on fuel costs due to the absolute insane energy policies implemented by this administration. You look at all of this. You look at the fact that homicide is up 30% in New York City. 12 U.S. cities hit all-time highs for homicide. And I have a Senate Majority Leader who is the senior senator from my state who has either placed his head in the sand on these issues or been the head cheerleader in charge, making sure that these things come to fruition. We felt as if there was no other choice but to hop into this race and give it the fierce urgency of now that it deserves.
We're speaking with Joe Pinion. He is a Republican running for U.S. Senate from the state of New York. The conversation comes to you from the Liberty University studios on the Todd Starnes Show. There are some folks who are carpetbaggers. And in your state there of New York, I think back in history, Bobby Kennedy, Hillary Clinton, they just moved to the state and ran for Senate. We're seeing that in other parts of the country, but you're not a stranger to New York. This is home territory for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Born and raised in Yonkers, New York, now the officially the third largest city in the state of New York. But whether you're talking about Yonkers or Buffalo or New York City proper, the problems that face New Yorkers are one and the same. We are a state of 19 million and shrinking because of policies that make no sense. Working class people in a working class state with not nearly enough working opportunities to be found. That is the failed legacy of somebody like Chuck Schumer, who has been in Congress longer than I have been drawing breath on this earth, 42 years and counting, 24 in the United States Senate. And so when you're talking about 2021 becoming the deadliest year in the history of policing due to policies that make no sense, the three most dangerous words in modern politics, defund the police. You have to wonder, how is it that somebody who has the benefit of all those years in D.C. could not see the inevitable outcome that we have before us, which is a 125% increase in ambush killings on law enforcement, which is the fact that at the height of COVID, while he was in the congressional rotunda kneeling in African kente cloth talking about justice, we had a period where 100% of all of the shooting and homicide victims in New York City were black and brown people. So that is not justice. That is an abomination. And when you pair that with the failed legacy across the board, where we have children in this country that cannot read at grade level, where one out of three black children that call New York State home living in poverty, 12 million children all across this country of all colors and all creeds, living in poverty due to the failed legacy of people on the left who believe that they can give everything to everybody for free, which only makes it harder and harder for those people at the bottom struggling to survive. We knew that this was the moment we could build the Uncommon Coalition to tell the world and to ensure New Yorkers that this was the election that change could come to New York.
Now, see, here's the problem. You're talking about specific problems and solutions, and the guy you're running against is engaging in cultural appropriation and dress-up that, frankly, I assume is offensive to a number of people. How can you possibly get elected by talking about real issues and solutions?
Well, you know, I think the hard truth, my grandfather told me a long time ago, that nothing ever gets done in society until people start dying. And the hard truth, the unfortunate reality, is that pain of death has now been equalized across all the demographics, across all the socioeconomic spectrums, across people of all walks of life. We have individuals who have to deal with the fact that we are burying more children than ever before because the leading cause of death for people aged 18 to 45 in this country is fentanyl. People who are not trying to take fentanyl but are becoming the unsuspecting victims of counterfeit prescription drugs are brought to you by the Chinese Communist Party because Chinese cartels have teamed up with Mexican cartels and have flooded Main Street USA with an uncommon amount of fentanyl, enough to kill every man, woman, and child that call this nation home because of an open sesame border on our southern border that has been led and cheerleaded by people like Chuck Schumer. They call it the new Ellis Island. Well, their new Ellis Island is not bringing opportunity to America. It is bringing death to the front doors of urban mothers and suburban mothers alike. And so we believe we can build this uncommon coalition to tell people, whether you are left of Bernie Sanders, whether you are right of Donald Trump, Chuck Schumer's fingerprints are on the pain and despair that you have had no reason to endure, other than a lack of leadership from those we have elected to lead and serve us.
JoePinion.com is the website, and if you're so inclined, we talked in the last hour about what you can do to help change society. You may want to join his movement by clicking on the links that are appropriate for that. JoePinion.com, he's also active on the socials as well. So how does this race shape up? For many people across the country, they hear about New York City, but there's a whole bunch of red territory in the rest of the state. Do you think that things are lining up nicely for a Republican in 2022, and in particular you?
Well, I think things are going quite well. I mean, the hard truth is that on Monday, I will become the first black person in the history of this state from either major party nominated to represent the state of New York in the United States Senate. That is the true hallmark of the progressive backbone that is the Republican Party. It has always been the Republican Party, going all the way back to Abraham Lincoln. So, yes, I think that when we talk about going into Erie County in upstate New York and going into Monroe County, people forget north of Albany in New York, we're a very large state. It looks a whole lot like the rest of America. So we can build those bridges. We can find that connective thread. But then, of course, again, taking this message all across America, we've gotten so much outreach from people saying, praying for you in Pennsylvania, praying for you in Arizona, praying for you in Texas. You can do more than pray. I mean, you can actually do more than give us money. We need a few committed souls to come knock on doors, right? You can help us in this election. You can send money. We've already raised money from 46 different states. People across this country know what Chuck Schumer does in D.C. in the name of New York impacts every single American that calls this nation home. And the policies that they have been placing down on paper have in many ways been eroding the fabric of the republic that has been the greatest hope for freedom in the history of the world. We have a chance to plant a flag here in New York and say that if you can save New York, you can change a nation, you can save a republic. And we need every single one of you out there to give until it hurts in whatever way you can, because this is the one race that can send the biggest message to those who oppose our righteous cause as a nation.
And for those who tend to dismiss the state of New York as just a blue state, I imagine you and others are terribly gratified by hearing about San Francisco school board elections. I mean, you see direct evidence so that even the biggest doubters have to take a second look at your efforts.
Well, I tell people all the time, the miracle, no one ever believes into a miracle until the miracle actually happens. It doesn't take a miracle for us to win this election. It just takes people putting in the work. I think there are a lot of people who woke up the day after Election Day 2021 and wish they gave an extra $5 to that governor's race in New Jersey. I wish they'd knocked on 10 more doors in that governor's race in New Jersey. And so, yes, when you sit there and assume that past is prologue, yes, you are going to get the same results. But if you recognize, as I do, that whether you are a black person or a white person, whether you're in North Country in New York or whether you're in Montauk on Long Island, people want their children to be able to read, and 60% of the children leaving eighth grade are not proficient in reading. People want to make sure that they are safe in their own homes, and we are looking at a fact that 90% increase in shootings in New York City proper. People want to make sure they have opportunity, and whether you're talking about a 30% poverty rate in Binghamton, whether you're talking about the fact that 2 out of 5 children of all colors and all creeds in Syracuse are living in poverty, people deserve opportunity. People deserve to have an America that works for them. And so our fight is not left versus right. It is right versus wrong. And if you believe that too much wrong is happening in America, we implore you to join us at JoePinion.com. Help us seed this grassroots movement and help fight for our republic.
If you folks listening had simply heard that Joe Pinion was running for Senate and just kind of wondered about his chances, I think any questions were answered in this last 10 minutes. Mr. Pinion, the very best of luck. You're welcome on my programs anytime. Good luck to you, sir. JoePinion.com is the website. Thank you for the time today, and thank you for stepping up.
Thank you. God bless to all of you, and let's fight for our country.
Yes, sir. Joe Pinion, Republican candidate, United States Senate from the state of New York, and again, JoePinion.com. Get educated, and offer whatever help you can, because that's an opponent I don't think Chuck Schumer wants to be up against. 844-747-8868 is how you can join us. We'll continue from the Liberty University studios in just a moment. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. 844-747-8868 is the number. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. If you missed our interview with Joe Pinion, candidate for U.S. Senate from the state of New York, well, after the program is over, give it a little bit, give it a little time to percolate, and then you can go to the Toddcast podcast. It's the podcast section of toddstarns.com, and in the meantime, you can go to his website, joepinion.com. Pinion is spelled P-I-N-I-O-N, joepinion.com. Coming up after our bottom of the hour break in a few moments, we'll be speaking with Jeff Johnston of Focus on the Family. Some public schools across the country tomorrow are going to participate in a designated day, and if you're a parent of an elementary school child, you might consider them staying home if this school that you send your child to is participating in this event. We'll talk with Jeff Johnston about Focus, about this, from Focus on the Family. We'll talk to him about this coming up. 844-747-8868 is how you can join the program and get your call in here to the Liberty University studio where we are continuing today. I do want to mention something about MyPillow while we have a moment. And I'm hoping that the Twitter troll who said false nasty things last night is listening to this. I put out on Twitter and Getter and Parler and Instagram, I mean, that's where I hang out, at Iowa Politics, I-O-W-A, at Iowa Politics. That's how you can follow me on Twitter and Getter and Parler and Instagram. Well, in any case, I simply posted that I was looking forward to filling in for Todd. And a Twitter troll, who I will not dignify by telling you what his supposed name is, said, well, it's hardly a good show. I mean, even the MyPillow guy pulled his advertising. With apologies to the late Rush Limbaugh, I crinkle this ad copy I'm about to read for MyPillow. Okay, so troll, just delete your account. Save humanity. Delete your account. And let me tell America about a product I personally believe in, and that is MyPillow. Used to have a ton of time sleeping at night. My wife said, why don't you try one of these My Pillows that you hear about and you hear Don Imus talk about on the radio? This is years ago, obviously. And I did, and it was an instant change. And I cannot tell you enough nice things about My Pillow. Nobody's paying me to say it. This is actually how I get a really good night's sleep. Now, you know that My Pillow doesn't have box stores, shopping channels, cancel culture, thank you very much. So instead of having to cut those people in on it, those people who don't believe what we believe, Mike Lindell is passing this savings on to you. I mean, in the old days, he had to go through these vendors, and then they wanted a piece of the action. Well, now they're not there. And so the savings get passed on to you. Some businesses would have said, well, that's fine. We'll just take all the money. But no, that's not what Mike Lindell does. So as a result, you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. Classic standard MyPillow used to be $69.98, now $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, now $24.98 with the promo code STARNS. King size, sure, used to be $89.98, now it's $29.98 with your promo code. MyPillow, well, more than 150 products. Pillows is where they started, but now it's sleepwear, beds, slippers. And by the way, that promo code also works on mystore.com and frankspeech.com. So go to MyPillow.com, enter the promo code STARNS, and oh my goodness, will you be changing your life. Maria, I know you're on the phone from Salem, Oregon, but I'm afraid I've just got a few seconds before this break, and I don't want to shortchange your comments. So if you'd be kind enough to stay on the line, I'll get to you just as soon as I can. But coming up after this bottom of the hour break, Jeff Johnston of Focus on the Family will be along. And you're going to want to hear this because this is the kind of indoctrination and infiltration into our public schools that is going to lead to some serious, serious consequences. You need to take charge of your children and your grandchildren's education. It is your responsibility. And we'll talk about how you can do that after this break coming up. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thank you for being along on this edition of the Todd Stern Show. That is top-level rejoin bumper music there, Kyle. Very nice. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's speaking to some business people there in the home base of Tennessee. And it's my pleasure to be with you today and then tomorrow as the team makes its way toward CPAC as well. Why not queue up on the phone line now, 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. That's how you can join the conversation with us here in the Liberty University studios. We'll get to your calls in a moment, but now we are going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And welcome to the program, Jeff Johnston. Mr. Johnston is Culture and Policy Analyst for Focus on the Family. Mr. Johnston, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd Starnes. How are you today?
Hi, Jeff. I'm well, and thank you for having me on the broadcast.
Tomorrow, I can't believe there is such a day that some public schools are going to engage in across the country, but you're sounding the alarm on this. Tell us about it, please. Very important stuff here.
Well, this is an event happening, as you said, in public schools, but also public libraries across the country. It's the 7th annual Jazz and Friends National Day of School and Community Readings, where in school classrooms, school libraries, public libraries, children are gathered together, and the teacher or the librarian reads to them about transgender kids, kids who are have sexual identity confusion and who believe they are the opposite sex. And so they're reading these nice little storybooks to these kids, and it's a way of inculcating them into this radical transgender ideology.
Because you've got, and I don't have children, and so therefore I don't have grandchildren, so I don't really know what's going on in the schools, but I dare say that many parents across the country didn't know either until COVID, and they started having a much more hands-on role in their child's education, whether it was through the Zooming that they were doing or virtual learning, whatever. Have you found that there are parents who are saying, wait, you've been doing what with our children?
Oh, exactly. I went up to Fort Collins yesterday and spoke to a mom's group, and they just wanted more information about this issue. They're aware of it because they're reading about it and sometimes even seeing it in their own schools. And, you know, this transgender ideology or LGBT ideology even comes into schools in so many different ways. Here in Colorado, the legislature passed a bill couple of years ago saying that if you're teaching social studies, or when you teach social studies, you have to teach about the contributions of LGBT individuals. And they followed California and New Jersey and five or six other states around the country that are saying when you teach social studies to pre-K through 12th grade, you have to talk about these LGBT issues. It's also coming into schools through critical race theory, through the concept of intersectionality, and through school libraries, some of the books that are being purchased, and some of the books that are in school classrooms, lots of different ways. But parents, I think, as you said, during COVID, got to see what was happening in the classroom more clearly, began to see some of the curriculum and read some of the books their kids were reading, and they've been shocked. And thankfully, they've begun pushing back.
Where I am in the state of Iowa, you mentioned Colorado, I'm in the state of Iowa, and we have a governor who actually got up during an interview and read very graphic portions of a book that was in a middle school library, with the exit question being, do you know this is going on? Do you think this is okay for your children? As I think about it, Mr. Johnston, you know, a school teacher, school librarian, they're an authority figure, they're a trusted figure for these young people. And for that person to be the one delivering this message, I mean, that has exponential impact on a young, impressionable mind that I think many of us, it's frightening to consider.
You're absolutely right. And you mentioned two groups, teachers and school librarians.
Yes.
This Jazz Day of Reading is co-sponsored. Well, it's primarily sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest LGBT activist group in the country. But the National Education Association, our largest teachers union, and the American Association of School Libraries are co-sponsors of these events. So they send out materials to schools across the country, and they send out lesson plans, suggested books to read, and it's being pushed through those venues as well, through librarians and teachers. Now, I want to be careful, because I was a teacher myself for 5 years, and most teachers love students and they love their subject matter and they just want to communicate that. But there are some teachers and administrators and teacher training universities that have a different agenda, and they want to push this on young children who, you know, the teacher said it, I'm going to believe it, that a boy can change into a girl, or a girl can have multiple gender identities. Gender is fluid. All these ideas that come from the radical gender ideology are being fed to kids through nice little picture books and lesson plans in school.
See, it just seems so innocuous, right? It seems so safe, because it looks like all this stuff that we've known for years. It's only when you open the cover that you really discover the depth of the indoctrination.
Yeah. I mean, some of the books I've seen recently, one of them's Call Me Tree. You know, this whole push for gender pronouns. This one's titled Call Me Tree. It's for little kids. Mm. Another one's My Princess Boy. There's one called The Gender Wheel, where kids have these interlocking wheels that they can turn around and pick different genders. And then there's another one I saw recently, The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, Swish, Swish. And these are in the children's section of school libraries and also public libraries. I just went down to a local library right near us and grabbed 10 or 15 of these books to show the moms I was talking to yesterday. Here's what's in your local library. Here's what's in some of your school libraries.
We're speaking with Jeff Johnston, culture and policy analyst for Focus on the Family. Where can people go online to get some resources that help arm them with the information they need on this topic?
Well, they can go to Focus on the Family's Daily Citizen. It's the Daily Citizen, and we produce articles about some of these issues so that parents can be informed. And it's pretty important for parents and grandparents and church leaders to understand this is what's going on in the culture. So Focus on the Family's the Daily Citizen. And we've also produced some helpful resources for parents, little booklets that are free downloads, like how to talk to your children about homosexuality and how to teach your children about marriage and what do you do when transgender issues enter your world. We've also got a big resource that we produced that's free it's 120 pages. It was produced with some friends of ours at Family Policy Alliance. It's called Back to School for Parents, and it covers this issue and a lot of other school issues and says, hey, this is what you need to look out for. And then when you find stuff, we give ideas both for how to respond to the school and also how to talk to your children about these issues. Those are available at thedailycitizen.org.
So what do you recommend that parents and grandparents listening to this conversation, which I enjoy talking to you, but frankly it's disturbing, this conversation, what do you recommend that they do knowing that tomorrow is part of a national day where this stuff is supposed to be trotted out?
Well, I would ask questions in my local school and my kid's teacher saying, are you guys participating in that? And if so, I'm going to hold my child out that day. The other thing we encourage parents to do, you know, these days it's not a matter of if your children are going to encounter these controversial sexual issues. It's more like when are they going to encounter it. So we encourage parents to set a strong foundation with their children about God's design and creation, that God made us male and female in his image, and humans come in two types, and that's biblical and scientific, that there's male and female. And also to explain to children early God's good design for marriage, that he designed marriage to be between a husband and a wife so that parents have a safe place to raise children. So, yeah, we encourage parents to set that foundation early and also find out what's going on in your local school. Ask questions, connect with other parents.
You're surely not suggesting that parents have a role to play in children's education.
I am.
That just doesn't seem right. That's not what I've heard.
I know. Right. I'm like a recent candidate for governor in Virginia who lost out. And part of that was because parents are being aware. And
yes.
We're talking especially about the mama bears who are rising up saying, no, no more. You're not going to do this with my child.
Mr. Johnston, best of luck with this. Thank you for shedding light on it, and we'll get everybody aware to make sure they know what's going on in their schools tomorrow. Thanks again for the time.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate this.
Jeff Johnston, Culture and Policy Analyst for Focus on the Family. They're online at focusonthefamily.com, and you need to know what's going on in your kid's school without any question. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. And Maria called in listening to the program on KYKN. She's in Salem, Oregon. Maria, you've been holding so long, I can't wait any longer. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Hello, Mr. Stein. Thank you. It's my pleasure even just to wait to talk to you. I think it's really criminal what's going on in these schools. I don't understand what's wrong with society, but I'm glad Mr. Johnston is on it and making people aware. But what I really called about was, and it should have been last hour, but I'd like to ask you and many Americans, who truly is the enemy of the U.S.? Is it really Putin or is it the Biden administration? First of all, I'm going to make a point that I do not think it's Putin. Putin is not the cause for our high inflation in this country, our high gas cost in this country due to shutting down our own Keystone pipeline. That is the citizens of the United States. That is our resource. The other thing is, it wasn't Putin who made it, made the events that delayed and made shortages of getting products to businesses and causing car prices to go up because we can't get some of these products for our cars to fix. It started back in the COVID restriction days, 2 years ago or so?
Right.
The other thing is people losing, because of COVID, people losing their jobs or having to pay these high fees because they won't close their businesses, people losing their homes due to the COVID restrictions. Also, Putin isn't the one that passing the buck to someone else. It's the buck stops here, Biden. That's who is the one doing it. He points his finger at everybody else but him and his own cabinet. Putin isn't the one that's letting thousands of illegal aliens into this country without tests, without any kind of guidelines. Putin wasn't the one that screwed up the Afghanistan evacuation. The buck stops here, Biden. I just got back from Scotland. I had to have 3 COVID tests in a week to get back. And because one of my tests was one day late, I couldn't come home. I would be in Scotland right now if it wasn't for the kind-hearted people to help me get to the airport and a friend of mine getting me an $1,100 ticket to fly back to the U.S., and it was 40 hours of being in a plane or an airport to get home. That's what all these COVID restrictions are doing to people. And here these illegal aliens are coming into our country without any hassles. So who is truly the enemy of this country? And I haven't covered everything.
No. But you've hit some very smart points here, Maria, and I appreciate you calling in and waiting on the line. Maria calling in from Salem, Oregon, listening on the fine KYKN. Well, here's the thing. If instead of doing it the right way, you would have snuck in on the Mexico-Texas border, you could have come right in, to your own point. That just shows you what ridiculousness this is. I want to pick up on what she said about who's the real enemy, and we'll do it when we come back after this break. Join the conversation, won't you? 844-747-8868. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Maria called in from Salem, Oregon in the last segment and was suggesting that perhaps Mr. Biden is the real enemy of the country. And so I just kind of lay this out here for you all to consider. Given the things that Mr. Biden has said with regard to Ukraine and minor incursions, is there some arrangement going on there? In other words, it may not be either or. Is Putin the real enemy? Is Biden the real enemy? Well, what? I mean, they both can be working against our interests. They both could be working together on some of this, given some of the Biden family shady dealings in the past. Certainly something to consider. 844-747-8868 is the number that Creed used to call in from North Carolina. Listening to the Todd Starnes Show on the great WHKP. Creed, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. What's on your mind today?
I called about 4 weeks ago, and I told everybody the gas is going to go up. Biden shut down 2 gas lines when he got in office. One when he first day. Now the gas is going through the roof. When he reopened them gas lines, he closed down.
Well, part of the problem with that is, on some of them, he was halting construction, and so those things have just dissipated, and the investors went away. The other problem is because, again, by shutting them down and revoking federal permits, some of these companies have gone on to other things. Now, could they, rally and come back and get staff in place, et cetera? They could, but it's not quite as easy as turning on and off a water faucet. You're bringing up an excellent idea. Why doesn't he just go back and open some of these things? But then he'd have to admit he was wrong, and he won't do that, will he, Creed?
No, he will not admit that he's wrong. I don't care what you say about it. He is probably one of the worst presidents we got.
Well, so what can you do about it? I mean, what do you do in your daily life knowing that we're stuck with him for some period of time, and if he were for whatever reason to not be in office before the next election, she's going to be worse. So what do you do in your daily life to overcome it?
Well, we try to make ends meet, you know what I mean? When gas... up there too high. But the heating oil has went up to $4.59 a gallon. I mean, four people will be able to buy that gas thing.
All right, so now let me ask you, and you may have to turn your radio down in the background so that because there is that little radio delay that we have, but tell me how much of a bite all of this has put onto your budget. How much more are you paying dollar-wise, if that's easy to recall, for a gallon of gas, or as you mentioned, the heating fuel?
The heating fuel is probably up $1.56 a gallon from last year.
Okay.
And this year the gas is going so high, you know, you budget yourself where you're going to drive, where you ain't going to drive.
Mm. That's tough stuff. Creed, we're up against top of the hour break, so I'm going to have to let you go. But I appreciate your insight from North Carolina today, and we appreciate you listening on WHKP. So if I did my math right from what Creed just told us, paying $4.50 for heating fuel, and it's at like $1.50 more, my math says that's a 50% increase from last year. And gas to put in my car, 33 to 50% increase. That is not transitory inflation, and you're not a smart aleck, Mr. Biden, if a journalist asked you about it. Stay there, another hour to come. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
At the Home Depot, we have the tools for you to give the gift of a smarter home with savings on top brands, like the Google Hub, a command center for your smart devices that raises the IQ of your entire home, or the Nest Learning Thermostat that helps you conserve energy and save on your bill. And if you don't know what to get, gift cards are a smart gift no matter what they get. So this year, gift smarter with savings on tools to make your holiday magic. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour number three of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. Coast to coast on more than 100 excellent radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein speaking to you from the free state of Iowa in my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views, and it's my privilege to be sitting in for Mr. Starnes today. He is speaking to a group of business people there in his home base of Tennessee, spreading his common sense conservatism person to person as opposed to through the microphone today. So it is my privilege to be with you here in the Liberty University studios. 844-747-8868 is how you can join the conversation. We'll get to your calls in the next segment, but we begin this hour of the program by going directly to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line for a conversation with Sarah Westwood, investigative reporter with the Washington Examiner, return guest to this program. Sarah, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd Starnes. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You posted a story on the website this morning, and it attracted my attention. You conducted a one-on-one exclusive interview with Dr. Oz, and he has some very interesting thoughts about this pandemic and mandates. But I apologize, I did not get a chance to see the full interview. Did you talk to him about why someone in his position would give up everything to run for the U.S. Senate from Pennsylvania?
That's a really great question. I mean, he's been described as television's most recognizable doctor, and yet obviously he's opening himself up to a lot of scrutiny, a lot of criticism by running as a Republican for office. He said previously that the reason, though, that he decided to jump into the race was because of the pandemic, and I think he's focused a lot of his public attention on that. One of his first ads was going off after Dr. Anthony Fauci, and part of the reason why that's so effective coming from him is because he has that background as a physician and because he's so well-known to voters as an authority on, of sorts, I suppose, depending on your perspective, on medical issues. And so I think that what he's saying about the pandemic carries a little more weight, even though some of his views have been characterized as sort of anti-vaccine and anti-science. He's promoted, for example, hydroxychloroquine. I think he raises a lot of questions about the vaccines that other people in his field have and that he's sort of uniquely qualified to speak to as a political candidate and a doctor.
And again, don't get me wrong, anybody out there listening from the state of Pennsylvania, you got a great state, and it would be an honor to represent the state, but I'm talking about this national platform he had. And to some degree, you say, well, now, wait a second. You know, you have more influence than any United States senator, not to mention the financial side. But sometimes the calling is strong enough. And with regard to, as you just quite accurately mentioned, I think more people are going to listen to Dr. Oz these days than Dr. Fauci. What are some of the things that Dr. Oz specifically takes issue with?
Well, one thing is just sort of the dynamic of the conversation around vaccines. You know, he talked a little bit about how frustrating it is that anyone who questions the mainstream scientific consensus around vaccines is immediately labeled as an anti-vaxxer, even though there are some real questions to be raised about them. And one of the criticisms that he levied at the Biden administration was just how unrealistic their expectations were for what the vaccine could accomplish. Because they encouraged people to get vaccinated all throughout last year and at the end of 2020 by sort of promising that this was the ticket out of the pandemic, that it was going to stop transmission, that there was zero risks associated regardless of how old you were. And a lot of that ended up not being true. And so he sort of spoke to the risk that people will stop trusting in their public health institutions if they see that what public health experts are pushing is just obviously inaccurate. And those were some of the criticisms that he had about the way the Biden administration has focused so exclusively on vaccines and excluding other tools that could be really powerful, like therapeutics and like recognizing natural immunity.
Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Sarah is on the Twitter machine at Sarah C. Westwood. And the article posted today is headlined, Dr. Fauci has misled us. Dr. Oz decries vaccine and mask mandates. And that's really then what it comes down to is the role of government with regard to medical care and science. And so, as I understand it, Dr. Oz is not against a vaccine. He's against these government mandates and shall we say, policy that does not necessarily rely on good science.
That's right. I mean, when he's talking about mandates, he pointed to, you know, the fact that natural immunity is even more effective at protecting a lot of people than vaccines. But companies that are implementing these vaccine mandates aren't really considering that. It's not part of the policy equation, even though if you're basing the policy on science, that would be one of the top things you would consider. Also, he kept describing the vaccine, which I thought was interesting, as an invasive medical procedure and sort of acknowledged that there are risks associated with it, especially for younger people. And there are side effects that come with it. And that is not something that's often part of the conversation, that's sort of portrayed as this cost-free thing that people can do to protect themselves from COVID. He was also critical of the widespread push for boosters that didn't really account for people's age or people's specific risk profile of actually having a severe encounter with COVID. You're not really at risk if you are, for example, a child or a healthy young person. And so a one-size-fits-all booster strategy isn't necessarily effective. It's sort of, in his words, driven by politics and this sort of myopic focus on vaccines at the expense of all the other tools that the government could be using to fight COVID.
I'm also intrigued by the fact that, in essence, the definition of vaccination changed, because it certainly was the way I was taught, and perhaps you as well, the idea of the vaccine is to prevent getting something. Not foolproof, but the idea is to prevent getting something. And that's certainly what the administration said for a very long time. Then when it was not proven as effective, they changed what the definition of vaccine meant, and then all of a sudden, well, it just means you won't get as sick. That's the kind of fundamental policy shift that must drive somebody like Dr. Oz crazy.
That's right. There's been obviously a lot of inconsistency in terms of messaging and policy from the Biden administration on COVID. I mean, just this week, the CDC quietly changed the guidance on the spacing of the two initial doses of the vaccine for younger people, which was sort of an unspoken acknowledgement that the myocarditis is a real risk, especially for younger men between the ages of 12 and 39. And now that subset of people, they're being advised to wait 8 weeks in between their two shots instead of 4 weeks to cut down on that risk. It was a risk that the CDC has spent months and months downplaying. And now they're quietly updating their vaccine recommendations to sort of account for a risk that at one point they said was non-existent. So that's the sort of thing that has eroded a lot of trust in the administration and its public health experts. And you're seeing the effects of that in the incredibly disappointing numbers of the Biden administration's vaccine drive. I mean, since the Omicron variant, the number of people who are lining up to get their initial vaccine shots has plummeted because people are really no longer listening, frankly, to the public health institutions and their recommendations when it comes to the vaccine. So much of what was said has been proven to be untrue.
Dr. Oz is against a government mandate. How's he feel about businesses telling their employees what they should do with regard to what he has termed an invasive medical procedure? I can about guess, given his characterization, but I'll let you tell me. You talk to the man.
Yeah, you would be right, I'm assuming, with that guess.
Yes.
His primary opponent in this race, which, by the way, gotten pretty nasty. I mean, the two candidates are not very different ideologically, which makes it tough. I mean, it's really getting personal is one of the only ways that you can really set yourself apart in that kind of primary field. But I asked him about primary opponent David McCormick's hedge fund firm, of which he was the CEO up until the start of this year. That private company that David McCormick ran did implement a vaccine mandate for employees. So I asked Dr. Oz how he felt about that sort of thing. And he said he would support legislation that banned private companies from implementing their own vaccine mandates. And again, this is where he got into the fact that a lot of these corporations that are setting vaccine mandates and firing people over refusal to get the shot aren't really following the science, and they're doing it in a really illogical way. For example, for employees that don't have contact with the outside world and who aren't at any sort of outside risk, or employees who, like I mentioned, have recently caught COVID and aren't even able to get boosted can still lose their jobs for these one-size-fits-all mandates that don't really account for real world and varying conditions.
Your general impression of him, by the way, the primary, for those who are looking ahead, it's May, I think it is 17th, so we're basically 3 months from a primary. Is this a TV talking head, or is this somebody who's genuinely, seriously concerned about the issue to where public service is the next logical on-ramp for him?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, he's obviously telegenic. He's obviously someone who's spent a lot of time in the spotlight and doing media, so this is really his skill set. But obviously, this is someone who also doesn't have a ton of political experience and has in the past said things that his campaign has had to walk back. Obviously, a political novice in that sense. What's really interesting is how much he and David McCormick are sort of catering to the Trump base right now at this phase of the primary, because Trump has stayed neutral in the Pennsylvania Senate primary since his chosen candidate, Sean Parnell, had to drop out for personal reasons. And so that sort of bruised, I think, the Trump folks a little bit, because they had chosen poorly in that primary. Either they didn't vet the candidate, or they didn't wait long enough to let the natural selection process play out of the primary to make that a successful endorsement. So now Trump is really staying out. And as I mentioned earlier, McCormick and Oz are really ideologically similar. So they are resorting to these personal attacks, and they are resorting to sort of each try to paint themselves as the natural heir to that endorsement in the race. And it'll be really interesting to see whether Trump does ultimately weigh in, or if he's been chastised by his previous experience and will wait until after the primary.
Well, it is true, because if he does weigh in Pennsylvania, of course, nasty folks are going to say, well, why should we trust this endorsement? Your last one flamed out. So that makes sense. And of course, if they can get, you know, to personally attack one another, boy, that's just really helpful for voters, he said, without being serious about it at all. Sarah, thanks so much for sharing this conversation with Dr. Oz with us. I appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Westwood, investigative reporter, Washington Examiner. She's on Twitter at Sarah C. Westwood. They're on Twitter at DC Examiner. And if you go to their website, you'll see the story, and it includes video of her one-on-one interview with Dr. Oz, who is a Republican Senate candidate from the state of Pennsylvania. 844-747-8868 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation here on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, Liz Peek will talk to us about the weakness of the Biden administration and its ramifications not only here but around the world. We look forward to that conversation coming up. We look forward to your calls after this break. Again, it's 847-747-8868. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and thank you so much for being a part of this edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University Studios. 844-747-8868 is how you can join the program. We'll get to your calls in the next half hour. I have to tell you, I'm always thrilled when I get the email or a phone call asking if I'll fill in for Todd. Today he's speaking to business people. Tomorrow it's traveling to CPAC for broadcasts from there on Friday. And then, of course, Todd's appearance is there over the weekend. So I always appreciate it. But when I heard it was a travel day tomorrow, I had certain visions of what was going to take place. And apparently I'm wrong. And so now I'm very disappointed. And so I've asked Kyle and Grace to join for this segment. I imagined Clark Griswold, you guys loading up the family truckster and hitting every Stuckey's and Cracker Barrel between Memphis and Florida, I guess, where you're going. But that's not what's happening, huh?
I'm sorry, Jeff. We're crushing your dreams and fantasies.
Yeah, you are. Because I was just all about imagining somebody being strapped to the top of the family truckster. And
now,
one
of us would be strapped to the top is what I want to know.
Well, whoever got kicked out of the car first, and I was voting for Kyle, sure. But so when you travel with Todd, well, are you guys traveling as a pack? Is this, you know, like you're the security in front of him going through the airport? I'm just trying to get a picture now that the road trip idea has been scotched.
So, you know, Todd is up and at it. So he will be getting there before us, and we're all flying. And Kyle and I are flying together down to Orlando. And the only thing we've really discussed so far is how to get to the airport and also when and how we're going to eat lunch, because that's priority number one.
Yes, ma'am. I would definitely think so. But so he's just out on his own.
Oh, yeah.
You let him go by himself without guidance?
I think he just didn't want to go with us.
I think so, too.
Boy, if there was a poll question at toddstarnes.com, this would be it, to be sure. So he's going to get there ahead of time, and then you're traveling. Have you traveled together by plane before for the show?
No. I've never traveled for the show like this, ever. So it's my first time.
I mean, it's been road trip, right? It's been car trip before.
I've never even done that, really.
They've never even... You didn't go to CPAC in Texas last year?
You know, no, I did not. But we did go to a Trump rally in Alabama.
That's right,
yes. We did do that. But no, this is my first CPAC. I'm a newbie.
Oh, goodness. And so now you want to know where to get lunch.
Yeah, because food is very important to me. Todd can go all day without eating. But you do not want to see me all day without eating. It's not a pretty sight.
You don't want to see what I've been noshing on in the studio during the last 2 hours of this program either.
It's not good. Do tell.
Well, I got my peanut butter sandwich.
Okay, fair enough.
Little popcorn. I don't have Brin snack food, unfortunately. Box of that would have been really handy.
It would have been.
I'm just saying. So
white cheddar popcorn.
Oh, you're killing me here. Thanks.
Sorry.
Nice work out of you on that. So.
I know.
Kyle, do you have apprehension about traveling with Grace tomorrow?
I'm terrified.
Why?
I'm just kidding. I don't know what to expect. I'm sure we're going to have fun. And, yeah, like she said, she looked at me and the first thing she said was, we need to figure out where we're going to eat. She said, I'm going to eat. I'm so hungry all day. She's like, I can't go without eating.
Oh, man.
You can't bring stuff on the plane now, can you, really?
Or not really. You? It takes up too much space, and you can't bring liquids.
Right.
And, you know, foods are kind of iffy, and they're going to get crushed in the bag, so it's not really worth the hassle.
Peanuts and water.
I don't want to, you know, talk down the aviation industry by any stretch. I would no more get on a plane to fly as I would jump off the building here and fly. I just don't want the hassles. Do you have masks that are adorned with political slogans just to... spice things up.
This is going to be my first time wearing a mask in like 4 months.
I know. I got to go find mine. Mine are like there hidden in my house somewhere. I'm like, I don't know where they went.
It's the worst part of the whole trip there.
And that, my friends, is why I'm not getting on a plane. But I am going to sit behind this microphone so that Grace can connect with Liz Peek and you can hear our conversation, which comes up after the bottom of the hour. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, not taking a plane tomorrow, and this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show, coming to you from the Liberty University studio. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach the program. We'll try to get to your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, return guest and friend of the program, Liz Peek. She is an analyst and columnist. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Ms. Peek, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Jeff, for having me on.
Well, it's very good to talk to you again. I always appreciate your insight. Your latest column, which people can find at lizpeek.com, analyzes Mr. Biden and his actions, and you're assessing whether or not it's fair to blame the current chaos on him. What's your conclusion?
Well, look, there's just so many things going wrong right now, whether it's high inflation or obviously the incursion, invasion into Ukraine, our open borders, rising crime in blue cities. I mean, an awful lot of this traces back to the White House and all of his left-wing policies, which, you know, I think voters didn't expect. I think voters didn't really vote for that Bernie Sanders agenda, but that's what we've got. And so the answer is yes, I think Biden is culpable. And by the way, you know, Democrats know it. I mean, you see increasing number of candidates, Democrat candidates, particularly in states like Texas, basically not wanting to appear with Biden, not wanting to do events with him because they know that he is tainted and he's going to make their reelection prospects that much worse. I mean, this is a pretty unusual thing to happen with a sitting president, but that's where we are.
And to the point of how they even present him, and there may be some, shall we say, medical reasons why he only addresses the nation in the afternoon, but there's a part of me from a media standpoint that suggests that he does it because, or they put him there then, because if it all falls apart, they know that most of us are working for a living and missing it, and all we're going to see is the sanitized distillation on formerly mainstream media outfits. So it's like the safety net if he falters.
Yeah. Look, I think it's really sad. I mean, to have the president speak for 9 minutes when Europe is on the brink of war, and we are aggressively trying to fend off those hostilities and not take any questions. I mean, this is something that obviously has gone on since he became president. Even before, actually, during his campaign, he is not up to the normal interchanges with the press. I just can't think Americans think that's normal. It's obviously not normal to have a president who's constantly saying, oh, I'm going to get in trouble if I answer questions. Holy crow, he's the president of the United States. No one's going to give him a hard time, presumably, for answering a question or two. But the reality is he can't do it. He cannot hold up his own. But here's the, you know, so all of that we know now. I think I don't think people knew it when they voted for him last November, a year ago November. But I think they know it now. The question is, what is the damage? I mean, you know, is there any way to change the trajectory? Obviously, I'm hoping Republicans take over Congress in the fall and that they can stop some of the worst laid out policies. They can prevent more spending, which has really been a problem. The extra $2 trillion spent under Biden's watch that basically kept people from going back to their jobs and ramped up inflation. I think we'll see an end of that, thankfully. And in fact, it may already be the case that we're not going to see any more big spending bills. But the damage is profound. I mean, the energy policies are horrific. And a lot of people are writing about this now. But, you know, I don't think Americans get it, that the reason Europe is in thrall to Vladimir Putin right now is because they have been for a decade implementing, and 5 years really aggressively implementing, green policies exactly like the ones that the White House wants Americans to adopt. And so they have basically refused to develop their own indigenous energy supplies. They've gotten rid of oil and gas in terms of conventional power plant usage and so forth, relying more and more on wind. The entire energy crisis in Europe right now is literally because the wind stopped blowing in the North Sea for 6 weeks. And the UK derives about 25% of their power from those wind towers in the North Sea. So that set off this desperate search for natural gas. Natural gas prices went up sixfold in England almost overnight. Electricity prices doubled, but that spread to the continent, same problem. And that basically kind of opened the door for Putin to do what he's doing in Ukraine. I mean, to find Europe 38% dependent on Vladimir Putin for natural gas, it is, I think, honestly, it's criminal that they have allowed, particularly Germany, this to happen. And in fact, in Germany's case, as you well know, they want the second Nord Stream pipeline to come on stream, which would make them even more dependent on Russian gas. It's really, you look back on these decisions that have been made, and they are really catastrophic for Europe. The important thing now is to say to Americans, we could be going down this same path, and we have to stop this.
And obviously, the president, I guess it was yesterday, talking about how we're all going to have to sacrifice as a result of this protection of democracy. Well, we didn't used to be dependent on others for energy. I can recall a time, oh, wait, it was only a year ago when we were not. You may not have seen this, but this was an official statement from the president this afternoon, probably 45 minutes ago. And he's talking about the imposition of sanctions by the U.S. on Nord Stream 2. And he closes by saying, or the statement attributed to him, closes by saying, President Putin has provided the world with an overwhelming incentive to move away from Russian gas and to other forms of energy. If that doesn't, thank you, that was my reaction. If that doesn't speak to the let's change the conversation, let's get everybody away from the resources we've used for years. In other words, this climate change agenda, I mean, this is just maddening.
It is madness. I mean, America has one of its greatest geopolitical weapons. I would argue perhaps the number one geopolitical advantage we have over Russia, over China, over many of our competitors, is an abundant natural energy resource, whether it's natural gas, coal, oil, et cetera. We have tons of it. We have a 100-year supply of natural gas, by the way, which has 25% less carbon emissions than oil, which is why our emissions in our country, as opposed to most European countries, have actually gone down over the last 10 or 20 years. We have cheap energy. We can either throw that under the bus, which is what the Biden administration wants to do, or we can develop it. And I got to tell you, I don't think Americans really fully understand the cost involved in switching away from fossil fuels to things like solar and wind energy. Some people in Texas found out about that when their wind towers froze in an ice storm last year. But generally speaking, what's happened is the government has subsidized a lot of solar and wind energy in the United States. So it doesn't show up on your bill, you know, but all of a sudden Californians look at their power, their electrical prices, and they realize they're 50% more than the rest of the country. Maybe somebody in California is saying, well, wait a minute, why is that? I mean, we used to be an energy producing state. How is it that we're paying more than people in the middle of the country for electricity? That shouldn't be. Well, it's a conscious decision by the people in charge, the policymakers in Sacramento, and now, of course, in Washington, to basically make Americans pay more for energy that is less reliable and in some degrees less sustainable, because we've seen, as I say, that interruptions in these renewables like solar and wind can cause consumers to have to rally around. And in Europe, when that happens, oftentimes they end up burning lignite, which is like the dirtiest fuel on the planet. So these are not, honestly, Jeff, these are not serious people. If they were serious people, they would look at the pledge that Biden has made in terms of promising more of a reduction in emissions than Obama pledged. We're not even halfway to accomplishing Obama's promise. But Biden thinks you can just say these things and magically it'll happen. It isn't going to happen. And in the struggle to make it happen, he's really going to hurt a lot of Americans.
Well, and realistically, where I'm sitting in the state of Iowa, we have tons of solar panels, even more wind turbines. And the concept is so that we can generate some energy and send it elsewhere. And I can tell you that's not sitting well with folks whose farmland is about to be condemned via eminent domain so that we can provide energy to someone else in another state because they haven't taken care of their business. And I'm not suggesting we become 50 independent republics here, but the people are paying attention to this, and it's not just at the gas pump, correct?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The infrastructure is not in place for these grandiose plans they want to enact. And an example of that, for example, is this push to get all electric or half electric vehicles by whatever date it is, 2030 or something. We have not even close to the number of charging stations across the country that have allowed that to happen. Mark Mills at the Manhattan Institute has done some great work pointing out that if you charge your car, even with a so-called supercharger, it's 40 minutes at the gas station, right, or charging station. Gas, filling up your tank with gas takes about 4 minutes. In other words, you would have to have gazillions more charging stations than we have gas pumps right now, and they cost twice as much. Who's going to fund that? Who's actually doing that? Meanwhile, even producing all these electric cars requires enormous amounts of rare earth minerals that are mostly found in China. So how's that working out? I mean, again, these are not serious people. They have not thought through or plan for the eventualities that come with these policies. It's all headline grabbing, virtue signaling, and, by the way, raising tons of money from a very well-heeled climate lobby, which funds Democrats. And that's really the reality. So, we would hope that the Ukrainian problem, Europe's problem, would be a wake-up call. But you know what? I don't think it will be. I think the White House, as you just said with that statement, will, you know, just double down. And it makes my blood boil because it's really just so stupid.
There's no better way to sum it up than that. I appreciate your time, Liz. It's always insightful. Thanks so much for being along on the Todd Starnes Show today.
Thank you very much for having me. Take care.
Liz Peek, LizPeek.com is the website, and the current post is Biden's weakness delivers chaos to U.S. and the world. And earlier today, to show you the tin ear of this administration, not only was there that statement that I read part of to Liz Peek here on the radio, but they also trumpeted the accomplishments of the Biden-Harris administration on this bipartisan infrastructure law and all of the wonderful efforts. And really? This is the time you're going to do that when everything else is going south in a hurry? They just can't get out of their own way. And again, to go back to the theme of this whole program, we are the ones suffering for all of it. 844-747-8868 is how you can reach the program. We may have some time for some calls on the other side. Let's take the break now so we do have a good window to talk with you before the end of this program. I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Segment of this Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. He spoke to a group of business people there in Tennessee today. Then he's going to get on the Big Bird and fly to CPAC, where the show will originate from that location on Friday. So that means it's my privilege to be with you all again here tomorrow on the program. And I don't want to jinx it, but here are some names for you. Hogan Gidley, Wendy Patrick, Mike Huckabee, Clint Ehrlich. Yeah, they've all said, against their better judgment, that they would join me on the program tomorrow. So we hope you're along for that. In the last half hour, I had the occasion to speak on the air here with Grace and Kyle. And just so you understand how we do this radio program, it is a lot easier for there to be all sorts of interaction. I love it when Todd and Grace and Kyle talk, but they're all in the same basic suite of rooms, right, looking through the window at one another. I just did the math here a second ago. We're 609 miles apart, and so it's a little harder to just have those conversations, but I thought it was important to confess that my dreams of this road trip in a car were dashed, and they're all going to fly, but luckily it's on Delta and not on American. You see this in the news, more than 1,000 flights canceled today, 500 for tomorrow. American is the one with the biggest problems because of a winter storm across part of the country. Nearly a third of all Americans arrivals and departures at its Dallas headquarters canceled today. Nearly a third already canceled for tomorrow. Well, we didn't need that aggravation, did we? Not at all. And I suppose if your flight's canceled, watch this. This shows you this is not my first day. If your flight gets canceled and you need to tell somebody about it, well, you're going to want to have reliable communication. Like, for example, Patriot Mobile. Now more than ever, of course, we've talked about this a lot today. You need to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. So they not only share our beliefs, they do something about it. What, you ask? Well, how about they donate a portion of every single dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about? In other words, you get great service, and they help things you care about. It's not like you're giving your money to the opposition, which is the case with so many of these other businesses. And so you need to know who you're doing business with. If you switch to Patriot Mobile now and use promo code Todd, you get free activation and a free gift. That's two uses of the word free in one sentence, and you're not going to get better than that today. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage, uses the same towers other carriers use. Their plans fit any budget, and they have great discounts for veterans and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and free premier activation by using promo code Todd. For more details, it's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. All right, you're in Germantown. I got to hit the refresh here. Murph, you're in Germantown, and I've got like a 60-second window, but I want to get you in. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. I was reading the Epoch Times today.
Yes.
And read a historic quote that hit the nail on the head.
Let's hear it.
Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, quote, end quote, unionism is the transmission belt to communism. And as a former member of the United Auto Workers and the International Association of Machinists, he spoke the truth, and it's amazing what unionism can do to cripple a society. Now, it has its place if laborers and employees are getting treated, mistreated, and abused, but the dynamics of unionism is the next step is communism. He is 100% correct. Thank you very much.
No, Murph, I'm so glad you called in from Germantown, Tennessee. You listen, of course, on the Mighty 990 and 107.9 KWAM. And it's a perfect way to close the program. Yes, they had their place at one time, but when they outlived their usefulness, those in power simply wanted to wait for it. Hold on to power. We see that a lot these days. Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Todd Starnes. Safe travel to all of you tomorrow to see PAC. I'll be right here, and I'll talk to you at the same time tomorrow. Make the most of the rest of your day. Appreciate you being along. Jeff Stein, filling in today for Todd. You've been listening to the Todd Starnes Show.